It's the Kim Monson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
I find that it takes work to get your brain around these ideas, and it takes work to engage in these conversations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
With what is happening down at the State House, I used to think that it was above my pay grade to read the legislation, and it's not.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
I see big danger in as much as we will be giving an unelected bureaucrat the power to make rules about what we inject into our body.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Monson Show. I am Kim Monson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Monson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmonson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. I so appreciate you. And thank you for joining us. You each are treasured. You're valued. You have purpose today. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Live with intention. You were made for this moment. And thank you to this team I get to work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Jen, Charlie, all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. And thank you to all of you. I'm just grateful that we're here with this conversation here, producer Steve. There is so much to get our brains around.
A glorious happy Thursday to you, and we thank you for thanking us.
And also, I do appreciate all the support that you all give us as well. Let's go ahead and jump in here with a number of things. First of all, Steve, I think let's go to our quote for the day, and let's actually bite off both of those quotes. You had sent this over to me. And as you know, we look at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. And force, government all comes down to force. How much force should government have? In the old days, it was kings and dictators and pharaohs and sultans and all that they were really the rulers.
Tyrants, despots, yeah, you name it.
You name it. America was unique. The American idea is just radical, that we the people would in fact govern ourselves. And this had never occurred ever in the history of mankind. And so the vision of America was put in place by the Declaration of Independence, that all men are created equal with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And then the U.S. Constitution was put in place to keep government in its proper role, to basically then keep government limited so that people, everyday people, could go after their hopes and dreams. And what do you get? You get a society where everyday hardworking people thrive and prosper. And we are living now at the pinnacle of human flourishing and prosperity. Now, I'm not sure that we're being great, totally responsible for that, Steve, because I think we're taking it for granted and we're kind of running it into the ground. But because of the American idea, and also because of fossil fuels, of efficient, abundant, reliable, and affordable energy, that has allowed us to power these lives. And we are seeing an assault on both of those things, producer Steve.
Well, I'm sitting here thinking of our history, you know, the 240 plus years. And, you know, we talk about the Industrial Revolution, which obviously wasn't just the United States. But I think in our freedom-based society, the Industrial Revolution was accelerated to the pace that we know today because of that.
Well, definitely. And we're seeing policy now that is wanting to become regressive and to push us back to make us, I think, really assaulting our quality of life. And we talk about that on a regular basis. And every morning or every day, I remind us that that we look at these issues, we search for truth and clarity by looking at issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And if something is a good idea, you should not have to, and it's not compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion. Or, man, this latest silent thief, which is government-induced inflation. It is at extremely high levels right now. The reports just came in, Steve, that inflation is clocking in at about 7%. That is basically your value of what your dollar that you earn is about 7% less than it had been. And so it's like government is coming in and taking money out of your pocket, but it's so silent you don't even realize it, Steve.
It's at a 40-year high, and it was said yesterday on another program that you want to bring this into real terms on an individual basis, or let's say the average family. The average family took a $5,000 pay cut in the last year.
Well, and why is that? One of Joe Biden's first things that he did when he got into office was to shut down the Keystone XL pipeline, so thereby making energy more expensive. And then also he's making it difficult for oil and gas companies to drill on public lands, so taking that opportunity away. And so when energy becomes more expensive, it's not just what you put in your gas tank or heating or cooling your home, it's transporting products to market. And all of that, we're starting to see all the culmination of all of that. And it's bad public policy that is causing this. And it's important that we really understand that for what it is, Producer Steve.
Well, you just defined it, or the process by which it spreads across our economy. Once you have a surge in inflation, it takes years to get the brakes put on it, right?
It is possible. But the way to do that, and interestingly enough, we'll talk about this, I think, in the second segment. But you can see that Governor Polis is up for reelection because, maybe I can find it right here. Let's see. Yes, a couple of things. Oh, there's two different things that I had highlighted here, where he said that one of the ways to actually make it easier or better for everyday people is to reduce fees and the cost of those fees. And it's like, of course, that's true. But yet he and through his back channels has been increasing fees, which is an assault on Tabor, our Colorado's Taxpayers Bill of Rights, because they just redefine a tax as a fee so that they don't have to ask we the people if they can, in fact, increase those taxes, those fees. And the other thing that I find super interesting here.
Let me interrupt you first. Did he actually use the phrase everyday people?
No, I did.
Okay. Because I'm curious. I wonder if he considers himself an everyday people.
Not at all. Oh. The elitists do not consider themselves everyday people. And I'll get to that. I'll find that during the break here. But anyway, let's just go over big picture. You and I were talking about a couple of things. And the first thing is the quote for today. And I'm going to actually give both of these, Steve, because I moved one to the bottom of the hour. But this first one is by Murray Newton Rothbard. He was an American economist of the Austrian school. He was an economic historian and a political theorist. He was a founder and leading theoretician of anarcho-capitalism and a central figure in the 20th century American libertarian movement. He was born in 1926. He died in 1995. So this first quote is, "The state uses its coerced revenue not merely to monopolize and provide genuine services inefficiently to the public, but also to build up its own power at the expense of its exploited and harassed subjects." That's pretty poignant for right now.
You just defined RTD, but go ahead.
Then the other quote that you had sent over, and we'll talk, and this is the one that we'll have at the end of the show, is, "We do not have to prophesy the ruinous effects of statism. They are here at every hand." And again, he was living through the 40s. That was and the 30s and the 40s when we had Social Security came into play. Let's see. What year was it that he passed on again?
95.
Yeah, so then he saw Lyndon B. Johnson, the Great Society. So he saw all that and the ruinous effects, and we are seeing that as well. But you and I were talking yesterday, it's important that people understand the difference in the term statism and federalism. And it took me a while to get my brain around that. And I think that you went ahead and looked up the definition on statism, correct?
Statism, the principle or policy of concentrating extensive economic, political, and related controls in the state, and here's the catch, at the cost of individual liberty.
And so statism puts more and more power with the federal government. The term federalism actually means that the states have more power, individuals have more power. And so and we're seeing statism big time right now, and that is what we need to get stopped. I wanted to mention a couple of other things, and one is I was watching Tucker Carlson the other night, and he looked into the camera and he said this, which I found astounding. He said that the role of government is to make our lives better. And I thought, we need to put the brakes on that. That is not the role of government. And I talked with some of the girls last night, and one of them said to me, well, if that means that they're providing for the common defense, and I'm just going to go to the Constitution because this is what government is supposed to do. It says, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, that's where we get ourselves in a lot of troubles right now, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish the Constitution for the United States of America. So that is what government is supposed to do. And if it does that properly, it does make our lives better. But I think there are those that think that they would make their lives better through government handouts, and that is not the case. And so we need to make sure that we make that distinction, Steve.
Well, you want to think that right after the Constitution was established and signed and put in place, that they were able to, stick to it for the first 50, 60 years or more. And it's only this modern day version where politicians get their hands and their grimy hands on everything and start making promises to everything and everybody. And we call it vote buying. And we get into this mindset now that government, can do anything for anybody at a given moment. And that's killing us.
Well, it really is. And as Dr. Jill has always said, that when government gets involved, the price goes up, the quality goes down, and the supply becomes limited. And that is why we're at a defining time in America right now. And when we look at the Biden policies, this out-of-control spending, it's really putting us in a very difficult situation. That's why I'm excited to talk with Eric Odlin in the third and fourth segment. He is running for Congress. And then tomorrow, that's CD7, and another candidate for CD7, Laurel Eimer, will be on the show. Because Ed Perlmutter, who had been the representative from CD7, has decided that he is not going to run for re-election, Steve.
Yeah, one of the newest of the growing list of, 26, 27 individuals mm-hmm. who have, gone that way? What's up?
And there is there's real opportunity. And so that is why Joe Biden is out there advocating for this voter cheating legislation that he wants to put out. And that is why, is because he knows that the American people do not want to continue with his agenda. And the only way they're going to be able to do that is if they change the voting laws so that they, in fact, I really call it legalized cheating. And so that is why we need to, and it's not popular. Americans do not want it, but he's out there on the stump trying to pass that. And I think it's because he knows that they cannot engage in the battle of ideas and win because these ideas do not work. Look at that 7% inflation. But before we go to break, Hooters Restaurants is a sponsor of both of the shows, The Kim Munson Show and America's Veteran Stories. And even though inflation is 7% out there on most everything else, they are keeping the line on their $10 burger specials. And they have the Mushroom Swiss Burger, a Bacon Blue Burger, a Southwest Burger, Western Burger, a Cali Burger, and a Mac and Cheese Burger. And again, that's $10 for a burger at Hooters Restaurants, and I think that it also includes some curly fries with that. So be sure and check that out. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And the show comes to you because of your support and also because of these sponsors that I get to work with. Another one of them is Kirsch Insurance Group, and they are specialists in the Medicare arena. They work with most all the carriers, the insurance carriers here in Colorado. We're in what's called an open enrollment period right now, where if you have an Advantage Medicare plan, you can make a change to that. And it doesn't cost you anything to check this out with Kirsch Insurance Group. So check them out at iKirsch.com. That's I-K-I-R-S-C-H.com, iKirsch.com. And just set yourself up for success. That's always a good idea, Steve.
Can I make a comment here?
Sure.
You have used the term, and I tease you about it. You said, I don't get this. This government thing is, what'd you call it, loopy or something? You had a
goofy.
Goofy,
it's
yes.
Goofy, yeah.
We remember, we just zoomed through it a couple weeks ago, the December 7th deadline to get enrolled. And right away, within a matter of weeks, they turn around and say, here's the new open enrollment period.
Right.
Only the government can do dumb stuff like this.
Exactly. Instead of, how about you just open up the time frame and you can contact Kirsch Insurance Group at any time to determine what's best for you. But not government. They have to make it as complicated as possible. Next thing I want to move over to, Steve, is this Colorado Sun piece. And I alluded to this, and it is election time. And that is, it's titled, What Will Be Debated at the Colorado Capitol When the Legislature Returns Next Week? And it starts off with, Governor Jared Polis wants Colorado to become one of the top 10 safest states in the U.S. within 5 years, he said Thursday night during a virtual Colorado Sun event ahead of the 2022 legislative session. He says it's going to take a lot of work to get there. I can tell you one of the things that they are talking about is deaths from car accidents. You know those electronic signs that are over the highway?
Oh, yeah.
Have you been noticing? It says 672 traffic deaths this year. So this is not by accident. This is how he and his bureaucrats and all of these different departments work together to push this this narrative. So you're seeing that. And those just started to pop up as we're coming into this legislative session. And it'll be interesting how they say that they're going to reduce these traffic deaths. And one of the ways might be to get you out of your car and put you on a train, a bike, or a bus. Stay tuned on that one, Producer Steve.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, just for clarification, when we were on the air Tuesday, Patty sent this text. The Colorado session starts tomorrow, January 12th. Do we need to make that clarification?
Yes, they are already in session. Thank you. Time is going so fast. I was thinking January 12th was next week. And I referred to that the session opens next week. And Patty's texted us and we got it after the show. It's tomorrow.
Are you admitting you're a week behind?
I was. Oh. I think I'm catching up here.
Okay, good.
Okay. But going to this piece here, it says, and he wants to talk about... he says, what's frustrating people now is how costs have gone up faster than incomes, you think? But he is all in on this Biden agenda, which, again, we just saw the results of that, and that's this 7% inflation. But this is what Governor Polis said. He said the main way he plans to drive down Colorado's cost is by providing relief from government fees. That includes reducing the price to register a car, eliminating the cost to start a new business in the state, and reducing the amount of money people have to pay to get licensed in certain medical occupations. Steve, we talk about this all the time. The way to unleash the economy is to reduce rules and regulations and fees and taxes. But this Democrat legislature and this Democrat governor has either signed or let it go into law these higher fees. In fact, there is a fee on gas that they now have. It's not going to go into effect until 2023 after the election. So this is really dishonest, because he is doing the things that are important to our economy. But if reelected, and if the Democrats would continue to hold the Senate and the State House here in the state legislature, it's hard to imagine that they could do more damage to the hopes and dreams of everyday people, but they can. But you can see he's changing his narrative because he wants to get elected. And that is so political, but it's so there's different words I want to go through. I guess I'm going to let you just fill in the blank, each of you out there, with what you think that word would be.
Okay. I'm going to turn my mic off before I say something really bad.
Before you say your word, huh? Okay.
Well, yeah, but didn't you, and we you know, you and Patty are so good at this, watching him through a microscope, and I guess his numbers started to, you know, go the wrong direction, and in December, or maybe even back as early as November, he started making more centrist overtones.
Mm-hmm. And then he just recently appointed a former Republican governor candidate, Walker Stapleton, to the Economic Commission, the State Economic Development Commission, which all they do is they pick winners and losers. And once again, you would not need the Economic Development Commission if across the board you lowered rules and regulations and licensure and fees and taxes. If you did that, Steve, it would unleash an economy like you would not believe. And that's really some of the Trump policies. That one of the first things Trump did when he got into office was state that for every new regulation, you had to get rid of, I think, at least two. I think that they actually got rid of more. And you saw this economy take off like a rocket. And whether or not you like Trump, his narrative, or whatever, that policy was one of the things. Remember, before the coronavirus reaction disruption, this economy was humming. Unemployment was at all-time lows for, across the spectrum, blacks, Hispanics, women. This economy was really humming. And you mentioned, I think in the first segment, that to fight this inflation, it's going to take years. Actually, if we got good policy back into place, it would turn around pretty quickly, Steve. But if we got people into office, representatives who represented us, not political interests, then it would be amazing what would happen. And that's why it's so interesting. There's so many good people that are stepping forward to run for office. And I will mention a couple of things. I am going to co-moderate a forum, and we've got this on the website right now, the Longmont Republican Women, along with the Boulder Republican Women and the Boulder County GOP, are hosting a Senate forum on January 29th for the Republican candidates for U.S. Senate. And be sure, I'd love to have you join us. I get to co-moderate that. And then the Colorado Hispanic Republicans are working to put together a gubernatorial forum, and I think that's going to be January 27th. And so get informed, get to know these candidates. And, of course, any candidate that reaches out to me, Steve, to get on the air, Republican, Democrat, no matter who they are, I will put them on the air because I want you, the listener, to get to know them better.
That's, I mean, well, what greater public service can you provide than that? Hey, guess who's here?
Karen Levine.
Yeah.
Okay. Before we get over there to Karen Levine, you know her, award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance. One other thing, another headline that I just think it's important to, and I think we'll talk with Eric Odlin about this, is newly released data from the Homeland Security shows that roughly 50,000 illegal immigrants have disappeared into the United States after they failed to report to an Immigration and Customs Enforcement, that's an ICE office, between March and August of this past, the previous year. Didn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that was going to happen. So anyway, let's talk to Karen Levine. I think she's got some year-end stats of what happened here in the Colorado metro real estate market. It's been a really crazy time. Karen Levine, award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance. Welcome to the show.
Well, good morning, Kim.
And what do you have for us? What did last year look like? Those numbers have just come out, yes?
Yes. Our press release from the Colorado Association of Realtors went out late yesterday. And I just wanted to share a quote from one of my fellow realtors out of Colorado Springs, which I think really explained the 2021 real estate market. And what he said was, we left 2020 at what felt like a solid 10,000 feet in elevation, only to find we were on the side of Mount Everest with 19,000 feet left to go, said the car spokesperson from Colorado Springs. Already out of breath from two straight years of hiking and camping, the real estate industry was already winded, to say the least. But 2021 was going to push the industry to all new highs and lows. It just depended on if you are a buyer or a seller.
Well, as you look back on 2021, first of all, so challenging. Inventory was so limited. And yet I know you had a very successful year in helping people buy and sell their homes. And I think that's really a credit to your hard work, to your experience. And in these times, these challenging times, that's what it takes, Karen. And that's why it's so important to have you on the side of the buyer or seller when they're doing this transaction, because there's so many things that need to happen. And I congratulate you on this, because it is, I can't believe how challenging it is right now.
It is. It's amazing how creative we have become as an industry, and myself and my team, to do more with less. And that's the American spirit, is the American people understand the value of home ownership and they want to live in the Metro Denver area. And so we have been able to find them homes that fit their criteria. It's been challenging because prices continue to move up, and you really need to have a stash of cash to be able to compete when you're offering above appraised value, being able to do what we call gapping that appraisal and coming to the table with extra money.
Well, and that's difficult right now, Karen, with when we look at inflation is up 7%. I'm thinking of that young couple, that young family that wants to get into their own home. And I know that there's government programs out there. I would prefer that there wasn't government programs, that taxes and rules and regulations and fees and all that were lower so that people could keep more money in their pocket. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, the government programs are programs that have existed for, you know, quite some time. There's not a lot of new things out there. Down payment assistance is something that does help our young people who haven't had the ability or the time to save money. The problem is the interest rate on down payment assistance is generally a point above the market rate. So they're paying a premium for, you know, having that help, which they should. There's a cost to not having your own money. But those programs are out there. Other than that, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac have pretty much streamlined programs in the marketplace. So there's not a lot of creativity, because we found that they got a little over-creative and overzealous, you know, in 2008, 2009, which caused the housing crisis. So keeping an eye on that, yes, inflation is a challenge. We believe we'll see interest rates move up probably two or three times over this coming year, but they'll still hold those probably in check, because that's just what they do.
True that. Okay, well, Karen Levine, if people want to reach you, what's the best way to reach you?
The best way to reach me is to call me at 303-877-7516, and I am available to answer any questions you might have that are with regards to real estate and the real estate market in the Front Range.
Well, thanks so much, Karen Levine. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks.
Okay, we're going to go to break. When we come back, I've got some questions I'd like to ask Eric Odlin. He is running for Congressional District 7. That was Ed Perlmutter's district, and Ed has decided to retire or throwing the towel in on that. So when we come back, we'll talk with Eric Odlin.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3, here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who support us. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And on the line with me is Eric Odlin, and he is a candidate for Congressional District 7. He is a decorated veteran. He has served our country. And interesting, he had his name in the hat in the ring for U.S. Senate. And I'm excited. There's so many great candidates out there that are stepping forward. But Eric Odlin, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kim. Great to be back with you. I always love to talk to you. Thank you.
Well, it's so interesting, kind of this turn of events. You had initially decided to run for U.S. Senate, and then just recently changed to run for Congress to challenge Ed Perlmutter, and then he just recently retired. So talk to us a little bit about that process.
Well, sure thing. So I filed for the United States Senate race back in June before I lived in District 7. So redistricting occurred after I'd started the Senate race. When I started the Senate race, there were only two of us running. And the field changed dramatically, and the situation changed as well. And as I was doing the analysis, I mean, I am out to serve my country and serve the state of Colorado and serve the constituency now in District 7. This is a call of duty for me. So as we were doing the analysis, and I've been campaigning statewide for the last 6 months, it became clear that District 7 and taking on Ed Perlmutter was the better path for me to be of service. So I literally landed in Washington, D.C. on Monday, turned on my phone, and it started blowing up with the news that Ed Perlmutter was choosing to retire. We thought that was a possibility, but that wasn't a factor in deciding to run. We were going to take him on, but it is thrilling news. This is an open seat, which makes it even more winnable, and I'm 6 months ahead of any other campaign. So we're thrilled, and the D.C. trip, let me just say, became very exciting with that news.
And you were back at D.C. because why?
Well, I went to D.C. to meet with the National Republican Congressional Committee. That's just something you have to do when you're running for Congress, make the rounds there. Met with Chairman Tom Emmer. But the news elevated their excitement. It elevated the winnability of this seat. I was also circulating with a number of other congressmen and women like Jack Bergman. I met with Lauren Boebert and Ken Buck out in D.C., met with the Republican Study Committee. I mean, this is just part of the effort to garner both national and statewide support for this race, helping people understand at all levels that we can win this. And it's going to take all the support we can garner to do it, but it's even become a clearer path now.
Well, and you'd never dreamed of really being a politician. And there is a difference between politicians and our elected representatives. And that is really what the American idea is based on, is representatives representing the people. And the fact that I think Perlmutter had been in there for 8 terms is much more, that's much longer than the founding fathers ever really thought that our representatives should be in Washington, D.C. So let's talk about some of the main things that are of concern to everyday hardworking Coloradans. And Eric, I've got to think one of the first ones is this government-induced inflation and the economy. What's your thoughts on that?
I think that's most concerning to everyone here in this state and all across the country. And it's a direct reflection of failed policies. It's a direct reflection or a direct result of reckless and abusive spending. And it impacts the poorest classes in this state and country more than anyone. It's a hidden tax, honestly, inflation is. And we've got to address it through good fiscal policy. That's what I bring as a conservative, is smart spending, spending in a way that serves the constituency, not serving special interests, not serving my own agenda. I'm glad you mentioned that I'm not a career politician. I'm somebody who's responding to a country in crisis because of contrived and failed government policies. What's going on the southern border? What's going on with rising crime? What's going on with inflation? What's going on in our school system? These are all direct results of failed policies. And let's not forget the disaster in Afghanistan, which as a combat veteran who served there, touches me very deeply. So I, at the end of the day, started the run for U.S. Senate and now running for Congress, because I want to bring real solutions that are going to serve Coloradans, not serve my own agenda, not sit in Washington and become a career politician. I have a young family. I live in the mountains for a reason. I never designed my life to do it, but we must address this. And to do that, we have to elect people who are willing to be of service, not just out to pad their own ego.
Well, and Eric, I want to talk a little bit about your military career. As you know, I have another show, America's Veteran Stories, and it's my great honor to, over the years, have interviewed so many of our military veterans. And it's just powerful. Each story is unique. And that show precipitated from a trip that I took in 2016 with a group that went to Normandy, accompanied 4-D-Day veterans for the 73rd anniversary of the D-Day landings. And it has brought an appreciation to me to those that would actually put on the uniform, to our soldiers, our warriors, to fight tyranny and to stand for liberty. And I know that you've taken that very seriously, and I think you received the Bronze Star, correct?
I received 2 Bronze Stars, 1 for valor.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it's a long story. I first of all, I grew up in an Army family where service to one's country was a high ideal. We were proud of this country. We loved this country. We honored the flag. And to be a soldier was a high calling. And my dad was a career Army officer. I wanted to follow in his footsteps. I went to West Point and then ended up serving 8.5 years as an active duty Army officer with 2 tours in combat. I was a tank platoon leader in Iraq. I commanded a striker reconnaissance unit in Afghanistan. And I was committed to that service and defense of the United States Constitution. All service members take the same oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States that members of Congress take. And now it's appalling that I see members of Congress not honoring that oath. But nevertheless, I've risked my life for this country. So I'm in a position now where I've been blessed with the means to run for office. I've committed significant assets to the Senate race and will continue to commit to the congressional race. But that is honestly and with all sincerity, because I love this country, I love the state of Colorado, and I think we're off the rails and going on in the wrong direction, and I want to be part of the solution. Part of the solution needs to be figuring out how we heal the divisiveness within this country, because it's destroying us and it's weakening us. And I think that there are agencies who are actively trying to divide the American people against each other, and we've got to sort that out.
And so sorting it out, then what would be done after that, Eric? What would you do?
Well, I first of all, we've got to establish leadership back within our government that is grounded on solid principles, grounded on truth, grounded on justice, grounded on freedom, grounded in the Constitution. We don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. We have to have a dialogue, and we need leadership for people who are going to do what is right, not what is expedient. And we've gotten in a position where most of our politicians are doing what is expedient. And especially as conservatives, we have to provide the leadership that will get our country back in the right direction, making it stronger and providing opportunity for everyday Americans. This country is great, but if we continue to divide along ancillary issues and not focus on what is really important to everyday people, then we'll continue down this road and we'll allow a government that has become corrupted to continue to exploit Americans, not serve Americans.
Well, and before we go to break, we mentioned the economy and, of course, inflation at 7%. People are starting to pay attention. For many years, I've heard people say, oh, I'm just not into politics. And we're like, well, you need to pay attention because politics is into you. We now know politics is into you. And national security, the southern border, I mentioned a recent headline that said that 47,000 illegal immigrants that came into the country were supposed to report for their hearings with ICE didn't show up. And we knew that was going to happen. And so the southern border is out of control. And then also I'm concerned about China. What's your comments on those two issues?
So they're all interlinked. I mean, the federal government's responsibility is to provide security for America first. I mean, it is the responsibility of the federal government. That is clearly outlined in the Constitution. The porous southern border is a threat. There are criminal elements exploiting it. Fentanyl coming across. It's become one of the number one death rates among, I think, 18 to 40-year-olds. I might be misstating that, but it's in that age range. The federal government has a responsibility to protect this country. The disaster in Afghanistan has made the world a more dangerous place because China, Russia, Iran, and other countries recognize we have a weak administration that is incapable of doing the right thing, that for whatever reason has ignored the threat of the southern border, wants to defund the police, wants to weaken our law enforcement agencies, on and on and on. And we can talk about national security as it relates to the economy. A strong economy directly contributes to strong national security. And we have an administration. I worked for 10 years in the oil and gas industry all over the country and all over the world, helping make this country energy independent. I worked in Israel, helping make them a net exporter of natural gas, a significant accomplishment. Energy directly relates to our security. I think we talked about this last time I was on, Kim. We are moving towards an energy policy which makes us overly reliant on China, who is our enemy. We need to acknowledge the threat that China plays in the world and acknowledge they're committing genocide and they're a totalitarian regime. So this is a very complex set of problems that we have a government that is inept and incapable of addressing, and we've got to fix that. And there's not a moment to lose.
There is not a moment to lose on this. Eric Odlin, he is a candidate for Congressional District 7. That is the district that Ed Perlmutter had been the representative. Perlmutter has decided to not run for reelection. We're going to go to break, and we'll continue the conversation with Eric. Before we do that, though, Castlegate Knife and Tool is a great sponsor of the show. They do give a discount, a 10% discount, to all military and our veteran, active military veterans and first responders. They have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. And I loved getting wedding gifts there. I was at a wedding just recently and picked up a beautiful knife for the bride and groom, which I know will be something they'll use for a lifetime. So Castlegate Knife and Tool, be sure and check them out. That's Castlegate.com. Castlegate.com. We'll be right back with Eric Odlin.
Three Points Financial is a fiduciary financial planning company focused on helping individuals and families. Mary Alpers and Steve Kruse at Three Points Financial specialize in investment strategies, tax planning and preparation, and retirement planning with no product sales or commissions. Tax laws have changed and will continue to change. Inflation is real. 3 Points Financial helps you maneuver through these changes to achieve your financial success. For clarity and a solid, relevant financial and investment plan, while working with a company that puts your interests at the forefront, schedule a no-obligation initial consultation at 3pointsfinancial.com. That's 3pointsfinancial.com.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who support us. On the line with me is Eric Odlin, and he is a candidate for Congressional District 7. Talking about these important issues that are facing Americans today. Eric, a couple of things that I continue to hear from people, and of course it's gone to the Supreme Court, is Biden, these vaccine mandates. Of course, we've seen on state levels that we've had governors that have used bureaucracies that they appoint the people to control, to push forward. Kind of onerous things regarding these vaccines, but we do have some cases at the Supreme Court. And what's your thoughts on these vaccine mandates?
Well, they're deeply concerning, and I'm 100% opposed to them. If I don't have freedom within my own body, I don't have freedom. So all our freedoms are jeopardized if we allow the government to force us to take an injection against our will. I think that's common sense. If freedom doesn't start at the boundary of my skin, then I have no freedom. So I'm not an anti-vaxxer. As an Army officer and as a West Point cadet, I took the full range of vaccines. But I, as a private citizen, I retain the choice for me and what I do with my own body. And that is an inherent right. That's an unalienable right. And the government is encroaching upon it. It's very, very concerning. We can't allow it to happen. We have to stand our ground. These are unconstitutional. I'm confident that the Supreme Court will do the right thing and rule them unconstitutional. But this gross abuse of power that we're seeing in the presidency by Biden is unacceptable. And we have to have due process through the legislation to even address these kind of things. And we see Biden trying to circumvent that. We see governors trying to circumvent that. We've got to get back to the rule of law and the processes of our government. And at the end of the day, the government should never be able to tell us what we put in our body or force us to put something in our body that we reject. So I want people to do their own research to make an informed decision. But at the end of the day, private citizens need to retain that decision process, not cede it to the government.
Well, and I would put a plug in for our show from yesterday. I had Dr. Jill Vecchio on and Dr. James Lyons-Weiler. So as people are doing their research, I'd recommend that they go and check out some of our past shows and podcasts, because we have a lot of good information there. And as then you say, make your own decision on that. Eric, you talked about our military and vaccinations, and I, as a citizen, am very concerned about that. Through all of my interviews for America's Veteran Stories, I've learned enough just to be a civilian commentator on military readiness, but I realize that when you lose a soldier on the battlefield to injury or to death, that weakens us in that particular battle. And when I have seen different headlines that because of Biden's policies, that there are Marines and sailors and airmen and our soldiers that are basically being kicked out of the military because they do not want to take this vaccine yet. It's like the enemy coming in and removing those soldiers from the battlefield. I'm so concerned about our military readiness because of these policies, Eric.
I'm concerned about our military readiness on a whole host of issues, one of them being the push to Marxist ideology, CRT in our ranks that's undermining the morale and welfare of units. And I think that what American people need to understand is that the military is a different element in our society. It's not a democracy. It's not a free society. It functions on a very clear chain of command and order. So I am deeply concerned that they are giving dishonorable discharges to service members who are refusing the vaccine. I don't think that's the right process. But I'm also sensitive to the fact that the military must function on orders, and we can't have the ranks openly questioning the chain of command. It just wouldn't function in combat. We have to have an orderly system, and it's not a free society. So as an Army officer, I followed those orders and through the proper procedures would challenge those if I thought they were immoral or unconstitutional. Ultimately, my oath was to the Constitution, and that's chain of command. We need wise leaders in the military, and unfortunately, we have career politicians now running our military and a bureaucracy that is mismanaging it, and it's undermining their effectiveness to fight our nation's wars. It's a broad host of issues, and it starts with leadership at the top. We have a corrupted commander-in-chief who is hurting morale, but I don't think we can look at the military through the same lens that we look at private citizens, and I think that distinction needs to be clear.
Okay, thank you. Next question.
I want to just one more footnote, Kim. I am going to serve veterans. I've been in combat. I know what the traumas of war are like directly. I know that veterans are suffering. Suicide rate is out of control. PTSD is rampant through our ranks. We have to take care of those who risk their life for this country. And we have to have an honest dialogue about the efficacy of the vaccine and how it's affecting morale and readiness and health within our ranks. And I do think that there were some rushing to implement the vaccine both within the military and in our society that's deeply concerning. So I understand those service members who are reticent to take it, and they should be given a voice. But we, at the end of the day, we can't apply the same that when people volunteer to be in the military, they give up certain freedoms. So we also have to acknowledge that.
Okay. Quickly, we have about 4 minutes left or so, and that is election integrity. And that is really a hot topic. There are those clearly on the Democrat side and many on the Republican side that say nothing to see here, move on. And then there is a whole host of people that are very concerned about that. What's your comments on that, Eric Odlin?
I would say the concerns are justified, and I've had my own concerns. What we have to do is look forward and how we're going to ensure election integrity in 2022. This is not a partisan issue. All Americans deserve to have faith and confidence in their elections. And it is our elected officials, especially our Secretary of States and our state legislatures' responsibility to ensure that the American people and people in Colorado are confident that the elections are going to be free and fair. And what I would encourage people is get involved. Be a poll watcher, an adjudicator, be part of the solution to make sure that everyone has confidence in 2022. But if we continue, if we have to get out and vote, we have to be participants in the process, or we automatically lose. So that's my encouragement. Let's look to the future. Let's be part of the solution. Yes, there were plenty of anomalies that are cause for concern, but that if we just give up and say all is lost, then all is lost.
Well, and I know there's a number of great trainings out there to help people become poll watchers, become involved in the process. And in order for us to maintain our liberty, we need to be vigilant about this. And moving forward into the future, there's a lot of work to do for the 2022 election. We've got just a couple of minutes left, Eric Odlin. How would you like to wrap all this up today?
Well, what I want to wrap up with is a message of coming together as Coloradans and American people to fix the problems. We have lost faith in all our institutions, whether it's unelected bureaucrats or our elected officials, and we have to figure out how to unite upon core principles that are common to all human beings: freedom, truth, justice, a lot of what is, you know, in the Bill of Rights and in the Constitution. We have to find those core areas to unite. The divisiveness in this country is killing us, and so I am proposing that we need wise leaders, and we need those who are going to think through the issues and have a dedicated commitment to doing what is right for the people. We need to dispense with career politicians. We have to exercise our voice, get activated on an unprecedented level, or we're going to continue to devolve in the way we're going. We're at a crossroads, Kim, and I believe that if we come together and we recognize what is truly good, and we put aside our bickering, because we've got too much bickering, especially within the Republican Party and across the state, we've got to put some of our differences aside to save this country and get it back on the right track.
Eric Odlin, thank you so much for being with us today. How can people get more information about you?
So I have a phenomenal website. It's odlandforcolorado.com, AdlandForColorado.com. I'm also on all the major social media platforms. You can reach out to me through the website, and you can find a lot of great videos on the website. A lot of my positions are up there. I'm pretty transparent on where I stand. We want people involved and activated, and we can win Congressional District 7. It is ripe for the taking if only we come together and recognize that this is bigger than each of us.
Well, Eric Odlin, thank you so much for stepping forward. It is the American way. And again, that's Eric Odlin, candidate for Congressional District 7. Thanks so much, Eric.
Thank you, Kim. Real pleasure to be on your show.
Great to have you. And our quote, we talked about it earlier today, is from Murray Rothbard. He says, "We do not have to prophesize the ruinous effects of statism. They are here at every hand." So my friends today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.